Now, the congressional committee tasked with investigating the attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th began its public hearings today. Four Capitol police officers gave testimony this morning and relayed the events of that day from their perspective. The committee is trying to determine how coordinated the riot was, how the security breaches at the Capitol building happened, and the Trump administration's response to the violence. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What's your takeaway from the public testimonies today? What do you want to see come out of this committee? Are you a member of law enforcement? What did you think of the Capitol officer's testimony this morning? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org. Cynthia Miller Idris is the director of the Polarization and Extremism Research and Innovation Lab, or PERIL, and a professor in the School of Public Affairs and in the School of Education at American University. She is the author of books including Hate in the Homeland, The New Global Far Right. Cynthia, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So this is the first day of these hearings. What were some of your immediate takeaways from the testimony that we heard earlier?
Well, it was incredibly emotional. I think that was probably the most striking thing for anybody watching. I mean, not just the witnesses themselves were tearing up or emotional, but some of the select committee members and people, you know, Congress people were tearing up and choked up. So it was a very emotional day. It was an emotional few hours of listening to that testimony and of having to watch really gruesome footage. And I think it's, you know, it's hard to imagine anybody coming away from that not being moved by what those officers experienced.
You know, the January 6th was everywhere. We saw footage of what was happening at the Capitol. We saw some of the impact on officers, these Capitol officers. So given that we have basically just a ton of visual and audio evidence from that day, how is the committee going to parse out, you know, what are they hoping to find through this committee?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think some of the questions that still remain and that the witnesses actually urged the committee to get to the bottom of were whether there were barriers, whether there was anyone, preventing or holding up support from getting to them. I mean, from their perspective, a lot of time went by before they got reinforcements, and that was very clear in the kinds of the emotion that they expressed in describing what they were feeling and how long it took for anybody to get there. And I think to back them up. And so they want to know, and I think Americans deserve to know, where those failures were. And those answers haven't been clear enough yet. And I think that that's why there's a hope that a bipartisan committee can get to the bottom of it.
I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Jeff in Superior. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, good afternoon. You invited me to express my opinion, so that's what I'm speaking to. There are sources who verified that there were Antifa and BLM protesters at this event, this protest. They did incite violence, and they were on the political left. And so to say the sensationalism of today's testimony was pretty one-sided is an understatement. They were not all Trump supporters. I don't believe Trump did incite them to this type of violence. I also wanted to say that they were only attacking one branch of government. That was the legislative branch. We have three branches of government in the United States, and it was not an insurrection by definition. When they assassinated the president years ago, they didn't say it was an insurrection. So you have to attack all three branches of government if you want to be an insurrection. And they were not successful. I wouldn't have participated in it. I certainly don't support it. But I don't think the truth is coming out because I think this is pure politics.
Jeff, thank you so much for sharing your opinion with us today. So Jeff is saying right now what we've seen is one-sided, calls into question who all was there. Talk a little bit about basically what this committee will need to look at as it continues.
I think that what Jeff is saying is such a reflection of what a lot of people feel, which is that they don't trust the information that's coming out from the media or from the government. And it's, you know, one of the reasons why it's incredibly important that we try to have a bipartisan committee here, that we try to have testimony that gets to the bottom of it. I mean, there has been repeated testimony from the director of the FBI, from, you know, from a lot of legitimate sources that have not proven, have not provided evidence that there were significant, you know, infiltrators from anyone. There was a concern expressed today that the international terrorists could have been infiltrating the group. I mean, I think that there should be a lot of different concerns about who could get into a building at that time, but there's no evidence that any of that happened. And so, you know, these were mostly spontaneously mobilized individuals, but spontaneous, you know, criminal action is still criminal. And so I think that there's a question about, you know, who held up the support getting to the officers who were there. And that's, you know, one of the major questions that the committee is going to want to get to the bottom of. But they clearly have to regain the trust of a lot of Americans who don't have faith in the sources of information that are coming to them right now.
We're talking to Cynthia Miller Idris right now. She is the director of the Polarization and Extremism Research and Innovation Lab. And we are talking about the first day of this House Select Committee that is investigating what happened at the Capitol on January 6th. We've all seen footage that came out of people breaking into the congressional building, the Capitol, and violence that came as a part of this. Now, you know, the public testimonies that we've heard so far have been just, they've been really, they've been candid and they've been emotional and they've been really intense. Looking at some of these committee hearings in the past, have we seen this kind of testimony, and what impact do you think that's going to have on the rest of this process?
That's a great question. You know, I have seen tense committee hearings. Of course, we've had very tense and controversial hearings. And I'm sure that historians out there in the audience could probably think of a case where there was this kind of emotion, but I can't think of one where we really saw both from people, you know, from Congress, elected officials asking the questions, getting choked up, tearing up, and from the witnesses themselves, there was a lot of emotion. And so I think, you know, one of the things that says is that moving forward, there has to be a lot of empathy in the room. We have to be approaching this with an understanding that there were 140 plus officers injured, that five people died, and that there are a lot of people who were traumatized on the ground that day by the violence and by what they experienced. And so this isn't just a political fight. It's a personal one for a lot of people who were there. And I hope that the committee moves forward with that in mind.
Now, in that vein, let's actually hear one of the key moments that happened today. As we know, several of the police officers who defended the Capitol on January 6th testified. And we're going to hear right now from D.C. police officer Michael Fanone. He suffered a heart attack, a traumatic brain injury, and PTSD from this experience.
What makes the struggle harder and more painful is to know so many of my fellow citizens, including so many of the people I put my life at risk to defend, are downplaying or outright denying what happened. I feel like I went to hell and back to protect them and the people in this room. But too many are now telling me that hell doesn't exist, or that hell actually wasn't that bad. The indifference shown to my colleagues is disgraceful. But nothing, truly nothing, has prepared me to address those elected members of our government who continue to deny the events of that day, and in doing so, betray their oath of office.
So that is D.C. police officer Michael Fanone. He is testifying. He testified this morning at the Capitol, the committee that is looking into what happened on the Capitol on January 6th. And you hear a lot of anger. And it also, he hit on something that I find is really interesting, which is what feels like a little bit of cognitive dissonance from what we saw and what we're hearing as part of the political process that got us to this point. Do you think that that is going to, that sort of cognitive dissonance is going to make this committee's job a lot harder?
Yeah, I think that the committee job is definitely difficult because there is a lot of, I mean, it's become partisan, and ideally the situation is not partisan. I mean, you want to have either an independent commission or at least a strongly bipartisan one that gains the trust of the American people, that gains the trust of citizens who know that they can listen to what's happening and trust it and know that that information is a legitimate source. And so I think they're going to struggle with the with what has been among a small, you know, group of people, a kind of whitewashing of what happened and turning, you know, using language that really creates a kind of smokescreen for the type of violence that was described today. And I think one thing that violence, those descriptions today make it clear that there's no way to get around describing this as, you know, as an act of terrorism, which the witnesses were really clear. They used the language of terrorism consistently and called the attackers terrorists. And so I think that that's something the committee is going to have to grapple with is these competing definitions and competing ideas about what actually happened that day. Now with the eyewitness testimony, you know, really emotionally expressing the very physical violence and assaults that they faced.
Right now, we continue our talk about far-right extremism and domestic terrorism that occurred during the January 6th Capitol riots. That is being investigated right now by a select House committee. Our guest is Cynthia Miller Idris. She's a professor at American University, and she's helping us understand what we've learned so far from testimony today. And we are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. And I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Willem in Colfax. Hi, Willem.
Hi. I wanted to address the facts of what happened. I believe these officers who testified because they experienced it and they were there. There was footage from their body cameras. We've all seen the evidence on television. Even Donald Trump's own words, which were the basis of this insurrection. He's basically said that the election was stolen and that the people had to fight or they're going to lose their country. He said this without evidence. The rule of law requires evidence. Otherwise, it's just words. And to suggest that just because there's people who think it was Antifa or Black Lives Matter, there are people who think the earth is flat. That doesn't make it flat. Facts are facts. And if I had to choose who was credible, these officers or Donald Trump, I would choose the officers every day.
Willem, thank you so much for that call. And, you know, Willem is also bringing up the other facet of this conversation, which is the fact that this occurred on a day that the 2020 election was going to be ratified. There was a big rally for President Trump in D.C., and some people have been pointing to him and his potential responsibility in all of this. How do you see kind of the specter of President Trump playing a role in, you know, this committee and what we're going to learn in the coming weeks?
Well, I think there's no question, and I think Willem is right, that these people who stormed the Capitol, this wasn't just a random assault on a Capitol. They were, you know, storming the Capitol because they wanted to interrupt the democratic process. They wanted to stop the certification of the Electoral College votes. And they, so in that sense, they thought they were actually courageous revolutionary actors, right? They believed that they were the ones thwarting a threat to democracy. And many of them believed that they were doing so at the behest of the president and others who had promoted the idea that the election was illegitimate and that had been stolen. I mean, that was the Stop the Steal campaign. So I think a lot of what this investigation and this committee is going to be doing is trying to parse out culpability, but also, you know, motivations behind it in terms of how we understand this as we move forward in history. And what is it that mobilizes people to violent action, even in this case, when many of them believe that they're doing the right thing? And that is back to this, you know, the framework that people have. They you know, it's misinformation and disinformation can really twist. It's propaganda can twist the way that people think and manipulate them into thinking that they're the ones being heroic.
Cynthia, I want to go back to one of our callers right now. We have Mark in West Bend. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just kind of wanted to raise the question that just keeps floating around in my head, where it feels like, you know, Republicans look at this and not, you know, elected officials, but, you know, I guess kind of, but just more regular callers and other people like me, that it feels like they just, anytime the left does something like this or wants to get to the bottom of something, they shove their fingers in their ears and act like they, you know, it's all just fake news, to use that term that used to get thrown around way too much. And I just wonder what can be done, or what sources or interviews or, you know, evidence, I guess, can be brought that would make just kind of the regular average voters realize that it's not just trying to bring them down and their views and their pseudo idol in Trump, but, you know, that this is something that actually happened and it's a bad thing.
Mark, thank you for that call. What do you think, Cynthia?
That's a great question. I mean, you know, after World War II in Germany, the Germans adopted an approach that was called defensive democracy. The idea is that there is always going to be a fringe group, but that you have to protect democracy by strengthening the mainstream against propaganda, against manipulation, and against kind of techniques that are persuasive, like scapegoating and fear mongering. And I think, you know, part of what we are seeing is the need to do some of that here to help the mainstream understand the ways in which they can be manipulated, and manipulated by propaganda and by disinformation.
Cynthia, you are an expert in extremism, particularly far-right extremism. And there has been a debate about what happened on the 6th, whether it was just a rally that got out of control, or whether it would basically rise to the level of domestic terrorism. And we've heard some people in testimony call it that. Not that I want you to speculate too much, but where do you think this falls on the spectrum?
Well, it's, you know, it's really interesting because we have a terrible lack of clarity in this country and actually globally about terminology in general. So nobody uses the same terms, even within our own agencies, and certainly not across countries. And so we don't have a, you know, single definition of what domestic terrorism is. We don't even use the same terms to refer to different kinds of terrorism. So, you know, some countries use white supremacist extremism, some agencies, and others use racially and ethnically motivated extremism, for example. So you'll hear a lot of terminology, and I think that often confuses people. There's no specific crime of domestic terrorism in the United States, but there is a definition of it. In fact, we heard it today read from one of the witnesses. And it is, authorities can undertake investigations of domestic terrorism that can lead to criminal charges that are associated with it. So the charges end up being things like, you know, providing material support or arson or use of weapons of mass destruction or property damage or whatever the criminal charges can be, but they can be within a context associated with terrorism. So, you know, FBI Director Wray, you know, the FBI has asserted that this should be considered domestic terrorism. The witnesses today were using that language, calling it terrorism. I would also buy the definition that the U.S. has, which is, you know, unlawful acts within the United States that are dangerous to human life or to the state, that are intended to intimidate or coerce civilians or influence government conduct through mass destruction or other acts. You know, that's a loose paraphrasing of the definition of it, but it's, you know, it meets that definition. So whether that matters is another question, because there is no criminal charge anyway of domestic terrorism. So in some way, it sort of becomes another point to argue about in terms of partisan politics. But certainly I would argue that we should call this an act of domestic terrorism and that it meets those standards.
One thing I want to ask is, you know, our politics has been increasingly more and more polarized. This has been something that has come up even before this committee was officially established, that it would be a political process. We're hearing this even today from some other lawmakers. Do you think that this undercuts what the committee aims to do?
I mean, the partisan and political nature of this definitely makes this more difficult. There's no question. I mean, one of the witnesses today closed quite emotionally by saying, you know, a lot of people are saying this is just a political investigation. And he said, well, it was a political act, right? What we faced was a political act. These were people trying to stop the certification of the, of the election and interrupt the democratic process. And that was inherently political. So it already is political. It is that. It was that is what he was saying in his testimony. And so, you know, the question is, can we make it not partisan? Can we make it about democracy itself and understand how do we prevent something like this from happening again? And what is going on among the American population, you know, to see these kinds of increases? I mean, we have heard from the FBI that they have now 2,000 domestic terrorism investigations open, which is double than it was 4 years ago. So we're facing real increases.
Cynthia, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Cynthia Miller Idris is the director of the Polarization and Extremism Research and Innovation Lab and a professor of sociology and education at American University. She joined us to talk about day one of the House Select Committee looking at what happened at the Capitol on January 6th.